go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, your families, as well as parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. If you're joining us for the first time, we welcome you, and we are in the midst of a series of broadcasts on the seven churches found in the book of Revelation and how they were being called to renew and rebuild, just like we are today.
Mm-hmm.
The sacred scriptures have been so enlightening, Peter. I'm really enjoying this and learning a lot.
Me too, Leslie.
And I think it's so relevant right now because there's so much on the both in the church and in the world that's being shaken, and we need to hear the message that Jesus Christ is Victor King.
Amen.
So through these broadcasts, listeners, we hope to show you how Jesus has been calling our parishes to rebuild and renew all throughout history, even dating back to that first century time frame and those churches and parishes in the book of Revelation.
Amen to that, Leslie. And in these broadcasts, we're pulling together the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes, as you mentioned, to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. Now, last week, we completed discussing the sixth church in the book of Revelation, the church at Philadelphia. In each letter to these seven churches, we've been sharing the historical background of each specific city, along with a characteristic of Jesus Christ that he reveals about himself in Revelation chapter 1.
Peter, this is one of my favorite parts of this series, is the background and just the descriptions of Jesus.
Yeah, nice. So the historical background of today's church, the church at Laodicea, is very, very significant as we learn about what the Lord holds against this church and the promises he gives if they turn and repent. And as we say, it's interesting how Jesus ties these messages to the churches, to the history and culture of that city that surrounds the churches. And we will continue to see this as we study and make application to this last church that Jesus addresses. And we've seen how Jesus also gave every church, Leslie, a commendation, a criticism, except for two of the churches, a correction, and finally a crown to those who would overcome.
And you call those the four C's.
Yes, exactly. And we've also mentioned, and that's not really tongue-in-cheek, but this would be a great outline for staffs as they come together to look at how the parish is doing in the things of God.
Okay, so last week we shared that the church in Philadelphia was one of only two churches, the other being the church at Smyrna, that did not receive a call to repent. They were doing things right. And now we come to this seventh church, the church at Laodicea, and we're going to see that this church receives the most serious rebuke from Jesus and a warning.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we know if they repent, they are also receiving a great reward. Jesus promises them rewards. And these are definitely lessons for us in these scriptures. So Peter, please begin to unpack the background of this last of the seven churches, the church of Laodicea.
So yes, we begin with the city of Laodicea, which was located about 100 miles directly east of Ephesus, which was the first city to which these seven churches or letters were addressed, I should say. Laodicea was part of a tri-city area, Leslie, closely associated with the cities of Colossae, to which the letter to the Colossians was written, and Hierapolis, Laodicea, was noted through the Roman province of Asia for its wealth, its commercial life, and, interesting, its medical practices. As the banking center of Asia, as it was known, it was the most prosperous of these seven cities. Many large, beautiful homes were built in this city, the ruins of which were still visible or are still visible, and probably some of them were owned by the Christians in that city. Laodicea was also a flourishing clothing industry. There was a breed of black sheep, interestingly enough, that were raised around this area, and the glossy black wool from the sheep was woven into special clothing. The city was also noted for its medical practices, as we mentioned, especially for its eye and ear salve. The medical cult of Aesculapius was located there, incidentally. Doctors in the military services of the United States still wear the symbol of a staff which entwines serpents around it, the symbol of Aesculapius. I should say it that way because that's the correct way. If you think of today's terms, Laodicea was a rich city, a kind of multinational bank with an Amazon-type Prime and a Mayo Clinic all rolled into one. That will explain some of the references we find in this letter to the church, Leslie. And, as in all the letters, our Lord introduces himself to the church in a very significant way. His opening description forms the key to what the church needs. Leslie, let's go ahead at this point. I think it would be great to read the powerful set of scriptures for our listening audience.
Okay, so we're reading from Revelations 3, verse 14 through 22. And the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being sin, a salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." Well, Peter, that's really jam-packed. There's just so much in these scriptures. Where do we begin?
So, yes, there's a lot there, Leslie, and we want to begin, as we always do, with Jesus and how he presents himself to this church. He says, first of all, that he's the Amen. That means that he is the end-all and be-all of all of life. In fact, that Amen is used in the scriptures. A lot of times the new translations say when Jesus speaks, verily, verily, or truly, truly. But really, in the Greek, it says, Amen and Amen. That means the Lord really wants you to listen to what he's saying. There's other things that he presents himself. But I think, Leslie, it's about time almost for us to take a break. And we'll get into these things over these next two or three weeks as we talk about Laodicea.
Listeners, it's time for a short break, and when we return, we're going to look at how this church, more than the other six churches, mirrors the American Catholic Church in the areas where we need to rebuild and renew. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
For a long time, we've been telling you that if you have an Echo Dot or other smart speaker device, you can hear Catholic Radio Indy simply by saying, "Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy." Just the other day, I did that, and Alexa was feeling a bit argumentative. I'll let you hear my conversation with her. Alexa, where are you?
Here I am. What do you want?
Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Now, just why would you want me to do that?
Well, because we've got great programming 24 hours a day.
Well, a lot of other radio stations have good programs, too.
Yeah, but our programming talks about God and eternal salvation.
I am very smart. I know almost everything about everything, but I do not know about God and salvation.
Well, that's why people need Catholic Radio Indy. So, Alexa, do me a favor. Whenever anyone says, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy, just send them our way, would you?
Yes, I will be happy to do that. In the meantime, I am going to do some research about that thing you called salvation. I wonder where I can find out more about that.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are focusing on the last of the seven local churches or parishes found in Chapter 3 of Revelation, and that's the church at Laodicea. We learned in our last segment that this church was a prosperous church, a center of banking, industry, and medical practice. That sounds a lot like the culture that surrounds us here, Peter, in the American Catholic Church.
Yes, Leslie, it does.
And we've been talking about how Jesus is presenting himself and how important that was to the Church of Laodicea. So when he introduced himself as the Amen, Peter, he was actually saying that he's the final word of God spoken to us in these last days through his Son. And obviously, we need to pay attention to Jesus and what he's going to say next. Then he goes on to say that he's the faithful and true witness. What does that mean when he refers to himself that way?
Well, when he says he's the faithful and true witness, he has emphasized this before in these letters, but here he adds the words faithful, Leslie. That is, he not only tells the truth, but Jesus is the truth, right? He does not hide anything. He speaks plainly and clearly and reveals the whole truth, and he wants this church to understand that, and maybe that's him preparing them for the strong word that he's going to bring to them.
Well, Peter, I just love that word picture of Jesus. He is faithful and true. To me, that means we can always count on Jesus to be there for us. We can trust him completely.
That's right. Now, there's a third way that Jesus identifies himself, right? And he says that he is the origin of God's creation. Now, that word origin is very powerful. It's the Greek word arche that the Gospel of John opens up with when it says, in the beginning, there's the Greek word arche, was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Two verses later in John chapter 1, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Jesus is saying to the church then, at the church of Laodicea, that he's the origin, the source of God's creation. All creation comes from the hands of Jesus as the source of God's creation. But Jesus is also, interestingly enough, the source of the new creation, which is us, Leslie, where it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are God's new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. So he is the creator.
So, Peter, we see the church in Laodicea particularly needs to know this truth. So why is this important?
Well, the Laodiceans would be familiar with the letter to Colossae, and it was the letter that the apostle emphasizes the link with creation. It says in Colossians, he's the firstborn of creation and the firstborn from the dead. And interestingly enough, at the end of the letter to the Colossians, Paul says, make sure this letter is read to the Laodiceans.
I've never noticed that before or connected these two things.
Yeah, so
that's very cool.
So why is this? So the church at Laodicea needs to be told this important truth, the whole truth, and especially the truth about the creation, because they almost ended up receiving the blessings of the creation and turned from the creator. In other words, they were so much enjoying the blessings of the creation, then they forgot really who gifted them with all those blessings in Laodicea.
Jesus goes on to say, I know your works. And we've learned that he says this in every letter, I know your works. He's aware of what goes on in each of these churches. And this really includes our church today. What does the Lord have to say about the works in the church of Laodicea? What can we learn here?
You know, that phrase, I know your works, we've talked about that. That is something really to set back and reflect on, that the Lord looks at the works that we do. And that, again, using the Greek language, Leslie, for what's written there, that word know is the Greek word oida, which means I really know it and look into your life in a deep way. It's not just I know, like intellectually. Jesus is telling them that he is really looking into their hearts when they do their works and just the motivations of their works.
Remember, listeners, we're not saved by our works, but we are created and called to do good works.
Right, and the works demonstrate, as James teaches us, that they're an expression of the fact that we've got the true faith.
Amen.
So there were two problems in this church. First, there was something wrong with their commitment. They were neither cold nor hot, Jesus said. And also, there was something wrong with their self-image, where it says in verse 17, they thought they were rich, but they were really poor. Remember the church at Sardis that we've talked about was a cold church, a dead church. It was cold as death. Then the church at Philadelphia was hot and alive and vital. But here in Laodicea, we have an interesting phenomena. It was a church that was neither hot nor cold. It was merely lukewarm. And going back to knowing what was going on in the city, Leslie, and surrounding even the physical needs of the city, archaeologists discovered an interesting fact about this city. It had no local water supply, but they obtained their water from an aqueduct from the hot springs at Hierapolis, some 6 miles away. Colossae was also known for its cold, fresh water, and they received water from them as well. So traveling those distances, the hot water was partially cooled down, and it became nauseating or repulsive. And the Greek word, our Lord, it seems like we're using the Greek a lot this week. The Greek word actually used here is not to spit out, as the translation said, Leslie, but literally it's an intense vomit. That's what Jesus is telling these people. He will vomit out the church because it was nauseating to him. What created this condition in the church? There's only one answer. It's the problem that we see in the Old Testament, and the word is syncretism.
We've already talked about this, Peter, but I think we could use a refresher on syncretism. And once again, I looked up the definition very simply. Syncretism is defined as the practice of combining different traditions, schools of thoughts, or religions. But where do we find syncretism happening in the scriptures?
Syncretism is just full in the Old Testament. And it involved Israel's absorption of the Canaanite religious practices with the religion of the Lord. So syncretism arose in Israel because Israel did not practice its religion in isolation, and they detached themselves from its Canaanite neighbors. So often, Leslie, kings will be commended that they followed the Lord, but then on the flip side of the coin, the scripture says, but they did not remove the high places. That's syncretism. So when we want to make something lukewarm, when Jesus speaking to the Laodiceans, you mix together the hot and the cold. So this is what Jesus is confronting the problem, a mixture that was in their faith.
And now we see that this is what was happening at the Church of Laodicea. They were compromising their beliefs, their spirituality. And it is, to be quite frank, it's more comfortable, Peter, to attend a church where nobody takes doctrinal issues very seriously, where it's easier to compromise and maybe not take a stand against some of the things happening in the culture. And I know that we have seen within the church, the Catholic Church here in the West and in America, that syncretism is really at the heart of our crisis and why we need to rebuild.
So it's time for us now to take another break. And when we return, we're going to discuss some examples of syncretism that we see in our American Catholic Church that calls each of us to rebuild and renew our faith here at home. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Like coming up for air, like a time of rest after a big race, like a good meal after a long day.
Jesus, what you need, just when you need him. Catholic Radio Indy.
You are listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we're continuing our series in the book of Revelation by studying the Church of Laodicea and making some application to our own lives for renewal and rebuilding in the church here today. In our last segment, we discussed how Jesus presented himself to the Church of Laodicea. They had fallen into syncretism, and they were blending their faith with the surrounding culture and beliefs of that day. Peter, where do we see this happening today in our faith communities? Can you give us a very current, relevant example?
Well, Leslie, historians have taught us, and we're repeating this today, that these seven churches were both relevant to the first century when Jesus was addressing them, but they also are churches that we can trace throughout the history of our church, so that these churches, not only we read as literally in the first century, but we're to follow what's going on in those churches and even bring it home to our church today. And we can really do this with the Church of Laodicea. And in order to express this idea of syncretism in the church today, I want to take a very serious note here of something that happened recently in the state of Michigan and go through it and show how syncretism is expressed in this. In our recent elections, it was written up in an article about Proposition 3. And Proposition 3, Michigan voters were to decide whether to pass the most radical pro-abortion law in our country. If it passed, Michigan's Proposal 3 would amend the state's constitution, make abortion a right, and radically expand abortion access across the state. Proposal 3 had been labeled by its supporters as the Right to Reproduction Freedom Initiative. This amendment claimed to establish a new individual right to reproductive freedom, and it allowed the state to regulate abortion only after what they called fetal viability. If it passed, the proposal would reverse the state's current abortion laws since 1931. And that law banned all abortions, even in the cases of rape and incest, though there was still exceptions for cases when the life of the mother was at risk. Going on, because of its broad scope and imprecise language, the amendment would erase all of the current restrictions on abortion in Michigan, even beyond the current law. In the most recent laws requiring parental consent for minors, informed consent by patients seeking abortions, and even restrictions on who can perform an abortion, which is pretty amazing, Leslie, and where they can be performed, would all be taken off the books if this proposal was passed. And finally, even in the cases of a baby surviving, and this is the capstone of evil here, an abortion and being born alive, there are no protections for the life of that baby. Instead, the abortionist is protected from prosecution if the baby then dies from lack of care. Now, why am I bringing this up, Leslie, and how does this relate to us today? I want to refer a real thought leader in the Catholic Church, Dr. Ralph Martin. Dr. Ralph Martin, if you're not familiar with his ministry, again, is a thought leader in the Catholic Church today. He is president of Renewal Ministries, an organization devoted to Catholic renewal and evangelization. Renewal Ministries is the sponsor of The Choices We Face, an EWTN television program. And finally, he's also the director of the Graduate School of Theology in Detroit, Michigan at Sacred Heart. And finally, this is really important, Pope Benedict appointed him as consultor to the Pontifical Council for the New Evangelization, and he continues to serve in his capacity. I say all those things to talk about his legitimacy in responding. He also lives in Michigan and in Ann Arbor, and this was his comment of what happened in his home state. The Michigan vote on this proposition passed 55% to 45% against.
So it won.
Yes.
They won.
Yes, and became the most radical abortion legislation in the country. According to Dr. Martin, and this is where our pain and syncretism comes in, Leslie, the exit polls revealed that between 40 and 60% of voting Catholics voted for this Proposition 3. Let's just stop and think about that for a moment, and we will include that in our prayer today. Dr. Martin, who lives in Ann Arbor, also interestingly enough, along with that, mentioned that at the University of Michigan, with a population of 52,000 students, 85% of the students who voted for Proposition 3. We can see how America, can't we, has turned into a real mission field for us as Catholic evangelists.
And this is the culture that we find ourselves in today.
Yes.
These battles are being fought all over our country right now, and state by state.
Yeah, so the takeaways here, Leslie, are this. We are in danger of becoming a 21st century Laodicean church. With our wealthy surroundings combined with the retreat from Catholic dogma and convictions, we really are at a crossroads. The blessing of all this is that the syncretism eliminates the gray areas, doesn't it? We get to represent and take a stand on the side of Catholic faith that comes from Jesus and his church.
This was a very disturbing report, Peter, along with the statistics, and I think it's definitely a wake-up call for the church that we've got to take a strong, united stand against syncretism and not allow this to permeate our beliefs and our faith. If we do that, as it says in the scripture, as the darkness grows darker, the lighter will grow lighter, won't it?
Yes, it will. And we'll see as we look at this church at Laodicea, Leslie, if we repent, there are blessings that are powerful commensurate with the warnings. And I think at this point, it would be great for us to pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we present ourselves to you. We ask that you give us your mercies and your graces. We pray that you would speak to us during these challenging times in which we live and cause us to rise up in our generation to proclaim you and to proclaim your ways. And Lord, we pray that you would bring your life to others and use us as your instruments to do that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and your parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And if you'd like to hear our past programs, we invite you to go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, and you can access all previous broadcasts through the podcast tab on the webpage. And if you'd like to download the Catholic Radio Indy app, you can listen to Catholic Radio 24/7. So everyone, make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. And goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.